If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, the box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go.
Hi, this is Jerry. Love you all. I thank God for everything that he's doing with us and for each and every one of us. This is going to be a little bit different tonight. There is a message. I might even get into a little bit of news. We'll see how things go. But tonight, our standard intro song, Keep Your Lamps Trimmed and Burning, has a little extra meaning relative to the things that I have to get into tonight. I'll just go ahead and tell you, if you log in, you'll see that the title page tonight is, among other things, mentions Job. And we all could use that. In fact, I rarely mention Job myself because it's almost cliche for the kind of walk that we've had. And but I was really led to that. Over the last several days, and particularly yesterday. And so I'm going to get into that a little bit specifically here, and a few other things. And as with so many things, timing is a huge part of our experience. And we also know that those of us in our rapture-centric family here often have common experiences, not in specific details, but in the spirit and the nature of how it affects our particular lives, whatever goes on. And so Keep Your Lamps Trimmed and Burning has a more specific application tonight relative to keeping in faith, and most particularly trusting in the character of God. Also, that song, Thy Will, is a new song. I think it's actually number one on the Christian charts or something right now. A couple of weeks ago, I can't remember who sent it to me. It might have been Pat, might have been Mama Pat, or it might have been somebody else. But somebody sent me a link to this song. And I really liked the song, and it hit me pretty hard because I'm like, wow. In fact, my reaction was, I was shocked that in contemporary Christian music, there was such a direct message like this, which is pretty much on the mark and absolutely reflects a more real Christian walk, okay? This is not a happy dance Christian song. This is real. And this is about reality. It's about a difficult faith walk. And I decided at the time not to put it in the studio, but I did forward it to my daughters because I thought it was really powerful and really accurate. In retrospect, I wonder why I wasn't led to go ahead and put it in the studio. I had put something else in there. But I realized, in fact, it was brought back to my mind. I was doing a project in my shop today, and just for a handful of minutes, I turned the radio on, and this song played. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that song. I had no idea it was that new. I didn't really know anything about it. Other than the link that was sent to me and what the song sounded like. And I heard it, and it's like, oh, now that completely matches. And now it seems like somebody sending that song to me was a foreshadowing of the experience I've been having in my faith walk for the last couple of weeks. And it's been very confusing. And I'll get into that a little bit. And I'm getting into it because I know that it's not only me. I've had shared several emails with Jason recently, and he has started to have some things that a little bit mind challenging. And that's kind of what's been going on with me. And I'll get into that message a little bit more. But I'm the third song, Time in a Bottle, in my opinion, speaks for itself. So, I'm going to keep playing this song tonight. And I would ask you, if you're listening to this in the archives, I really highly recommend just soaking in this message. It's not the most comfortable message. It's not just all lovey-dovey praise. It reflects the more challenging aspect of our faith walk. And I know in my experience, when you really get to a situation and you know that God sometimes allows you to be challenged, and we all are in our walk, if God is really working with us, we are all, he allows us to be challenged and to go through difficult moments. And when you take that seriously and you get to a point when you're praying and speaking with him and you know you have to say, thy will be done, I think that's really scary, because if you really mean it, if you're really genuine, you know he might lead you into something that you don't understand or that may be difficult. And that's real. That's where the rubber meets the road in your faith walk. And so this song, it's not all I'm going to do tonight, but I am going to play it several times. And I am astounded that it's as popular as it is. I'm astounded that it's contemporary Christian music. I'm astounded that this message in a powerful way is in our culture at all right now, in any manner. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's a very real thing. And the timing of it is obviously his. And it certainly reflects the things we're going through. But not only us in our Rapture Century Church. So one of the comments Jason made to me today in an email, and he's been extraordinary at having a perspective on this stuff. One or two or three of us have often found ourselves getting into certain sort of spiritual or emotional or whatever kinds of circumstances in our particular lives that often within a day or two or a week, we find that other people in our Rapture-centric family have gone through. I've experienced that many times. One of the things that Jason mentioned to me in an email was that he has noticed that, and this is documented too, by the way, in our testimonies on our shows and other people's YouTube videos and shows that they do, that our experiences have tended to sort of be ahead of other people a couple of weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks. And he pointed out there was one time where we were a full 6 months ahead of other people sort of getting to the experience we were having or the leading that we were getting. And so this song, Thy Will, it's called Thy Will. It's from the singer is Hillary Scott. She was part of that group called Antebellum. And this is her single release with her family singing. And it's interesting because I have another family song here that has been leading me into that has been it's been speaking to me in my private playlist. I've played it here on the show once or twice. At Christmas, my daughters got together, there's three, and they sang a Christmas medley. And for whatever reason, the audio quality is really terrible. However, it has come up and played on my private list several times. And every time I hear it, I'm able to appreciate more and more the beauty of what I'm hearing outside of the audio quality. And I think I am moved to believe that that will be true for others. And I'm going to play that. I actually had taken it out of the studio, and I reloaded it today because it had been working on me. And I had, anyway, it was not my plan that this is another family song. And initially what I thought was motivating me to play this, other than I knew it had been working on me for a couple of weeks, was that, as I said in the title page of tonight's show, Goodbye July, because it is the last day of July. We're headed into August. We're now, tomorrow, even tonight, we are starting the eighth month of our calendar year, 2016. It's extraordinary. Literally, I did not expect to be here years ago. And I mean years ago. And I don't mean like, oh, I had a date and I hope we would go. I mean, the sum total of my leading was, to the extent that I understood what he was going to do with all of us who are watching, being led to watch and expecting the rapture and everything, I was expecting to be out of here years ago. Even if I did not know what date it was going to be, I didn't see any way. The lid on all of the potential chaos in the world would be kept on so that things could arguably somewhat be going normal, although clearly in some parts of the world and for many people, things are far from normal. But there's also a lot of places where things are somewhat normal on the surface. On the other hand, any of us who've been watching know that things are far from normal. We've seen all the clues, and whether it's the messages in the world or the spiritual messages we're getting from God, the scriptural understanding, by the way, has also dramatically increased over the last few years. It's especially the last 5 years, there has been what I consider a true explosion of a deeper understanding of the Word of God. Things that I felt like I could see that no one else was seeing, I now see other people freely talking about and understanding fundamental truths in it. And it's very cool. And it shows you another example of the time that we are in. So anyway, it's goodbye July. And one of the things that's been coming up, we've had, Carol's in chat. Judy, by the way, is on the line. I probably should bring her on. Judy, I'm going to open up the line. If you want to say something, you don't have to. Otherwise, but anyway, so Carol's in chat. She says Job was a contemporary of Abraham. Did not know that till this week. And Carol says it wasn't me. I think she means about sending me the song. So Carol, who's in chat, had this thing Away in the Major, which we sort of renamed Christmas in July, and a lot of us, including the share, have been getting that message. Christmas in July has been a kind of a big thing in culture lately, but it's also been very powerful in our experience. Her date fit into our Elijah pattern in 2014, I think, and anyway, so that was the theme for today, and Christmas is about the birth of Christ, you know, whatever date you want to say it happened on, and whatever you want to say about the world's recognition of it. It's a recognition about the birth of Christ, which is probably the only birthday really we're celebrating. You know, it was considered ungodly in ancient times to celebrate one's own birthday. It's a natural thing to recognize it, but to actually celebrate it, it was felt was unseemly. And I presume because it put the focus where it should not be, because after all, one cannot take credit for their own birth. And so that plays into this story very directly. Anyway, let me stop rambling here, and I'm going to play this medley, I hope you can hear the quality that I hear in it, in spite of the fact that the audio quality is really challenged. Just pretend you're listening to an old, 1920s, 78 RPM record, with some really cool singing or something going on. Anyway, this is a Christmas medley. It's short, and I'm going to play this song that well again. Here it goes.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy above, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. Sweet one.
I know he hears us too, all the time. And if you walk with him and your heart is turned towards him, he will always hear you. The kind of answers and response we get from him does vary. Let me read the scripture that I was led to put on the title page of tonight's show. This is Job chapter 40. The Lord said to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him?" And remember, this is near the end of the book of Job, and Job is trying to figure out what the world has happened to him. And he has three friends at this point that have expanded to great lengths. Two of them entirely incorrectly, one of them slightly correct, and that God was seeking greater humility from Job. But for the most part, none of them were understanding, but they were freely willing to try to imagine on their own what it is it could have been, and saying all kinds of terrible things about Job and his life, and also not understanding God, and unintentionally being offensive about God as well. Anyway, so then Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. In other words, he's repenting from having said things out loud that were incorrect about God. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? And this is God saying, you're going to come against my judgments. You're going to say that I am in error in order that you can feel better about your circumstances or justified in complaining about what I'm doing. Well, that's what I was led to put in chat. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole scripture. If you want to read Job, you can. I assume almost probably everybody who would hear this has read Job and understands. But let's go over a couple of the important points. Job was a righteous man. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was, by all accounts, he was one of the most prosperous men in the known world at the time, and probably the most prosperous man in the region in which he lived. He was righteous, and not only was he living in his own righteousness, but he also made sacrifices and did everything he could to atone for any sins and errors of his family members. And so he would do offerings, would do burnt offerings and things for his sons when they would do things they should not do in God's eyes. And things were going along very well for quite a while. And on 2 different occasions, the Elohim, which are called the sons of God, and Satan came before Jehovah, Lord God, and said, you know, what's going on? What you been doing? And Satan, of course, is the accuser, and he was roaming the earth to and fro, the understanding being that he was looking for people to accuse. And it seems as if he was talking about all of the things that were happening that mankind was doing that were against God's will. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And so right there, God's throwing Job under the bus, basically. And Satan says, of course he's, you know, righteous. He does all the things he wanted to do. Look how wealthy he is. Look how much you've prospered him, and so on and so forth. And God says, okay, then. You know, I'm going to give you permission to take away everything he has, but you can't harm his person. So all these things, series of disasters happen in one day, and he loses all of his daughters and sons. He loses all of his wealth, and it's a series of disasters untold. I mean, you know, untold of before, nothing like it had ever happened. Job immediately knows God has allowed this to happen, and he recognizes it's judgment from God. He rends his clothes, he goes into mourning, and he maintains a righteous posture. The Elohim and Satan go before God again, God once again throws Job under the bus, and he says, have you considered my servant Job? And he says, well, yeah, you know, but he's healthy and everything and blah, 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 and so on and so forth, the same kind of stuff. And God says, okay, you can do with him what you will, but you can't kill him. And so Job is afflicted personally. physically. And of course, he's miserable. He's uncomfortable. He's ill. He recognizes that God has allowed this in his life, and he's not a happy camper. And furthermore, his wife compounds the problem by saying, instead of recognizing Job's righteousness, and no one should have known better than her Job's righteousness before God, she just says, curse God and die, as if to say, see what good being righteous has done you. You've lost everything, and it was no good at all for you to be righteous and right before God. That was indirectly the message that he would have received from somebody who should have known his heart and his true righteousness before God. And then much of the book of Job, so she tells him, you know, curse God and die. And he will not do that. He maintains his faith. But of course, by now, he's very unhappy. He's miserable. He's lost everything. He's physically miserable. And at some point in time, these three friends of his come from a distance and meet with him. I read one thing that indicates indirectly there's a time of year when there was a gathering. It was about 4 days. And maybe it's during this time that they came to meet him. But in any case, these three friends come. And there's meaning in their names and so on, but I'm not going to go into all of that right now. But the thing is, two of them completely don't get it, and they just basically accuse Job of having sin in his life because he'd suffered difficulty. The other one has a little bit of wisdom and is trying to work out, and they all want to console Job, and they all want to help him be in a better place. But they don't know really how to do it. And this is one of the things that God points out eventually, is that you guys don't know what you're talking about. So they all go back and forth, and then Job tries to come up with his ideas. And eventually, Job says, you know, this is a problem. And he starts to call out God, and he says, this isn't right. And God says, hold on there. And that's about the time when this in exchange, part of which is in chapter 40, occurs. And God starts to question him about the works of the world, you know, and asking all these questions and pointing out all these things that none of them know about what happens on the world and the earth, and the chambers of snow and rain and the earth mounted on its axis, and all these other things that no one could possibly know. And and finally, you know, Job hears enough of it, and as part of this, he says, brace yourself like a man. I'm going to question you, and you're going to give me answers. And of course, God's point is, you don't have these answers. And so Job finally realizes, I can't question you because you're so much greater than I am, that whatever happens, I trust the character of God, and I stand before you humbly. And he says here in verse 4, I'm unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. He's repenting of what he had already said. He said, I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. In other words, I spoke a couple of times, and now let's revisit. Remember what had happened and why. Job didn't suffer because he'd done something wrong. God used Job as an example, and it came up because of Satan's accusations against mankind. And as Job was, frankly, an example that God used to prove himself and his plan to Satan. God believed in him enough that he knew that Job would still trust him in spite of all the afflictions. And that's why God chose him to throw him under the bus, so to speak. And so this relationship we have with God, just like Jesus releasing the Holy Spirit after his death on the cross, or actually in conjunction with his death on the cross, he, in both cases, God showed faith, a kind of faith in mankind. Yeah, he's omnipotent. Yes, he preordained that people in their hearts would come and seek him. But nevertheless, he showed belief in his own plans, even knowing that Satan had done his best to foul them up. The fall of man in the Garden of Eden, and Satan was cast down to earth and spent all his time going to and fro, keeping track of how, in his accusation, everything was going, how badly everything was going. And God said, "What about my servant Job?" And as a way to prove himself against Satan's accusation, he allowed Job to suffer. And so this song, "Thy Will Be Done," really reflects strongly on that. The idea that we actually invite experiences like this into our lives when we tell God, "Thy will be done." We hope that he will find a way in circumstances to gracefully resolve problems. And but if we're really serious about it, if we really understand that this is a challenging walk, if we say, "Thy will be done," we know we could be inviting greater difficulty into our lives. We should also know that he's with us in it. But so this "Thy will be done" is a very powerful thing. And Job is an example. Job trusted God and did everything he could. And his reward at the time was to be chosen to become an example of tested faith, which meant losing everything he had, including his physical health and comfort. That's a big deal. Very briefly, I'm going to just say that over the last few weeks, and I'm not the only one, I've been going through a series of circumstances where I have been led to do a whole bunch of things over a certain period of time that were either unconventional or didn't really follow common sense. And, you know, a savvy person might have handled things differently. A person, you know, wise in the world would not have probably thought that they were, some of these things weren't the best things to do, or wouldn't have believed that they were going to amount to anything. I went ahead with, and this is true in probably four or five aspects of my life, and believe me, checked, double checked all along the way, I have been asking, "Am I doing what you want me to do?" and so on and so forth. And I never have gotten a contrary answer. And by the way, I have asked a few other people whose discernment I trust along the way about this also. And never have I gotten an indication from any of them that what I was doing, that I was doing something I shouldn't do. Has any of it worked out? According to what I can tell right now, none of it has worked out. At least in terms of human perception. It has been painful. It has been disappointing. And you know, the thing is, I really think I'm to the point right now where I have more practical challenge to my faith, and particularly in some of these things that he's asked me to do, than I have ever had by far. And things aren't working out the way I hope, or even the way he tells me they're going to, as far as I can tell in my discernment. That doesn't mean they won't eventually turn around. I think they will. But in spite of all that practical disappointment, and all of it happening kind of at once, I'm sort of seeing that I think I'm at a place where I don't know if I'm incapable of actually fully doubting that something will happen when he tells me to do something. And it's very strange because I'm being literally slapped in the face with all kinds of disappointment at the same time. But by doing that, I'm like, well, okay, the next time he tells me to do something that I know is not likely to work out, you know, what's my response going to be? Because it's scary, because it's like, you know, am I still going to have faith? Can I still believe in him after a whole series of things where he sort of led me down the garden path? And it seems, sorry, it's probably a bad phrase to use in this circumstance, but you know what I mean? You know, where, I mean, it was very improbable that some of these things were going to work out. And in my worldly knowledge and sense and common sense, and, you know, I would have handled things a different way, or at least expected a different outcome. But in spite of all that, I actually believe, at least a part of me for sure believed, that what he said was going to happen was going to happen. So I'm like, after all of this, I don't even know. And literally, the truth is, my head is still kind of spinning from all this. Although I do think I kind of have my footing and my grounding, and I kind of know what's going on. And that's why the show tonight and why the message. But this has been no small challenge. It's been probably the lowest point in my faith walk ever. It's been the most challenging thing, the most hurtful thing probably, not in any one item, but the sum total of it for sure. And yet I still think that if he told me to do something stupid or something would seem to have an improbable positive outcome, a part of me would absolutely believe that it's going to happen. That's scary too, because like, wow, you're really listening. But you know what? That's what everybody thought about Job. You know, he was living large. You know, he was a man of faith. Oh, great. You know, fine. But you know, you've got all this, you got all that, and blah blah blah, and everything's going awesome. And then everything is taken away, and everybody figures there must be something wrong with Job or whatever, or his faith doesn't matter or whatever the answer is. And Job's like, well, I don't understand it, and I don't like it, but I'm going to praise God because I still believe in him over everything else. And so that's what I say. I say, praise God. He's bigger than everything. Jason, I think, I don't know if I mentioned this last time I did the show or not, but Jason, had a dream about me being in a prison population too, I think. And, I got out of the general population, was put in a holding cell off to the side, seemingly in preparation for release. And he was a little bit sneaky because he didn't tell me everything at once, because for quite a while he didn't tell me that he saw me in a box inside this cell and that I was really crammed into the box. Later on, he told me he saw me in a box inside the cell and really crammed. Well, that turned out to be a very powerful metaphor for many aspects of my experience. to this day. And and then later on, I found out when I started asking about it, I could see literally, I could feel the walls closing in my experience. I could, you know, when God puts up barriers, when you've had it happen, as much as I've had it happen, you begin to recognize it. And I could feel it. I could feel all the barriers that he had up around me. And sometimes those barriers have obvious benefits, and sometimes they just seem to be in the way of anything good happening. But when you've experienced it as much as I have, you begin to kind of sense it and recognize it, even if it's not direct, and even if he hasn't told you that's what he's doing. Because he's he does things his way and doesn't tell us a lot about what he does. And so you begin to recognize it. And so I asked him about it, and he said, yeah, he said, you know, I never actually saw you get out of that box. And that's where his, that's where that vision of me stands to this day. He never saw me get out of that box. The understanding is I was going to get out of the box. He never saw it happen. Someday I'll get out of that box, but I don't know when. I'm hoping it's soon. But this has been the result of me saying, you know, thy will be done. I've done the best I can, as faithful as I can, and believing everything he's told me, even though there have been severe challenges to that. In some ways, challenges that I am forced to acknowledge, regardless of what I believe. And so these things are a real challenge, and it's not any fun. And so when I heard that song sent to me, Thy Will, Mama Pat's on the line right now. Pat, you might have sent that to me. I'm not sure, but anyway. It hit me very powerfully. And by the way, that was before the intensity of what I'm speaking of really, really kicked on. And the last couple of weeks have been really, really challenging, and specifically having to do with the way he's allowed me to be led. Now, is he allowing me to be led, you know, in order to have a Job-like experience, to have these kinds of experiences? Well, God let Job have those kinds of experiences. Now, mine's a little bit different, but all I know is I've been led, and it sits well with me to compare this at this time to Job-like experience. I know so many people who are in a sincere faith walk right now could easily adopt Job as an example over at least parts of their lives. So I just want to emphasize that, you know, that's been true for us here for basically every day, most every day for 3 years, maybe not every day, but most days. For at least over part of our lives. And so I don't do this lightly. I don't embrace this symbolism because it would almost seem to be somewhat trite, or it's almost even, over-applied. But that, I don't think, is the case here. I believe this is what I'm being led to embrace and share in this experience. One other thing about Job, one other comment I have here. After Goodbye July, before the verses in Job chapter 40, I put Satan's lack of faith. And I can't fully explain what the purpose of God's plan is and how he plans to do this. what he plans to do. But really, people, there is a very substantial part of the faith walk of every person who sincerely follows God that is about proving to Satan that he's wrong. He bet his existence that no one, that he could mess up the plan sufficiently, that God's plan could not succeed in humanity on the earth. And that's why he goes around accusing all the time. That's why he goes to and fro over the earth to find every misdeed, every error, every sin, everything that he can do to discredit God in his mind. So it's really, in a sense, Satan's lack of faith in God's plan that led to all of this and led specifically to Job's experience. Satan went all over the place, came back with a laundry list of all kinds of indiscretions and errors by people on earth. And God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? Now, there's an essential truth here I think a lot of people miss. Satan should have known. I mean, let's put it this way. Satan never mentioned Job, which is why God had to bring it up. And the fact that Satan didn't mention Job, Satan already knew what the answer was. Now, this was a challenge by God to Satan, and he said, okay, you know, I'll put him up and see what you can do. And God allowed Satan to work challenges and evil in his life, whatever you want to call it. And Job succeeded and overcame. And you should know, Job repented of the things that he had said that were not correct towards God, and mostly presumptions on his part, trying to struggle in his frustration to find, to get an answer, an understanding. And but when he repented, God restored twofold everything Job had. And he had seven more sons and three more daughters. The daughters were specifically listed and designated to have a portion of his inheritance, which was out of the ordinary in those days, because the sons automatically would have shared a portion of the inheritance. But the daughters in this case did. Now, the reason he didn't receive 14 sons and six daughters was because it is presumed that God had protected them and had them reserved in what we would consider heaven, at least if looking forward in future consideration. But basically had preserved their souls, and that he would be reunited with them at one point after death. And but everything else was restored twofold when he repented. So Satan failed, and Satan did not have faith in God's plan, and nor, of course, did he have faith in Job. He naturally had, was forced to have. I don't think he had faith in himself either. Because if he believed, if he had completely believed that he could cause Job to renounce his faith in God, or as his wife said, curse God and die, then he would have brought Job up by himself. He would have come to God and said, look, you know, you've got this guy Job and you think he's all right, just da-da-da-da, but he's just wealthy and he bless him every time he turns around. And you let me take all his stuff away and afflict him and he's going to renounce you. He never do that. It was God who said, you know, how about Job? And I think Satan knew he was sunk right there. He had to double down. He had to say, because his whole position is against God. So he doubled down and afflicted Job and what have you, but he lost. He lost twice. He knew he lost from the beginning. As soon as God brought up Job, he had to know he was done, that he was going to lose. Except he's consumed by what drives him. So Satan doesn't have faith in God's plan, and it tries to attack it. We know the various different ways of looking at that. That's not the point tonight. The point is, I think God is bringing us all to a point. He certainly brought me to a point where I had to reconcile this kind of an experience. I can't say I totally understand it even right now, because he's got me. He allowed me to be led in a way to do a whole bunch of things kind of against my common sense. But I did him because I believed he was leading me to go there. And I still know that if I was led to go there, that he was the one that led me. That he allowed me to be led that way. But whatever the outcome, you know, what I did in faith in God. And I know he was with me every step of the way. And I still trust him, and I know he's good, and I know whether it's in difficulty or blessing, whether it goes with my expectation or against my expectation, that God is in it. Job did not know God was in it. Well, he knew God was in it, but he didn't understand how God could be in it. He did somewhat associate his works, his posture of faith, with his blessings. And God did teach him, yeah, you can't assume anything. You've got to stay humble before me, and you repent against any errors, sins, what have you, and I will come back. And God did choose to restore him. My sense in this time is that there's a lot of people going through circumstances similar to this, especially in our rapture-centric family. I trust that this is a timely message, an insight. And I also think that we're approaching a time when the broader part of the world is going to have experiences like this. So that's the only messages I've been getting lately. He's, you know, something is clearly up. That doesn't mean his time is up, 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 but it could be. I'm seeing wedding messages. I'm seeing separation messages. And I don't mean by other people on YouTube. I mean in my personal experience. There is a crescendo. There's a crescendo in my life. There's a crescendo in the community of believers. And to reference back to several days ago, suffice it to say that some of the things we talked about on the show a few days ago was, you can see we're even in the headlines today, perhaps indirectly, but clearly mentioned. And so let me play this song, Thy Will Again. Please just let it soak in, because this is profound. Just the fact that this song could be at the top of a Christian chart right now should tell you really a lot about where we're at, because this is extraordinary. Okay, this is not a Joel Osteen message, okay?
I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't wanna think, I may never understand, that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt and these four words: Thy will be done, Thy will be done, Thy will be done. I know you're good, but this don't feel good.
Thy will be done, Thy will
Really, to live that. And sometimes we have a Jobian experience, but God is still in it. In some ways, it's an incredible compliment. Can you imagine what an awesome compliment of Job it was for God to say, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He knew he was throwing Job under the bus. He knew he was going to agree to let Job be afflicted and challenged in his life. That was a heck of an honor. That's a tremendous honor. It's a very good honor. So not our afflictions are not necessarily because we're doing things badly. We can be afflicted because we do things well from God's point of view. Okay, I want to switch. Judy got some text from Raina today and just recently. And I'm going to share those. She said, I just had a dream when napping this afternoon. Someone, Jesus, she says, told me I'm going to be in his arms tonight. And that is an awesome message. And there's more, and it turns out there's some background to this. And so it'll be very, well, we're really watch this. Anyway, she said, I almost died 2 times this month. I had surgery 3 weeks ago. I did ask him to take me home, don't let me come back here anymore, but he did not. Even the doctors freaked out when they lost me for some time. LOL. Now he let me know I will be in his arms tonight. So I'm so ready. And Raina just sent that to Judy. And so I will be done, Lord. It's what we want in all our lives. It's a scary thing to say, really, if you take it seriously. But that's where we're at. I believe it's where he wants us to be. And, you know, God blesses, he protects, he restores. But he also allows us to be deeply, deeply challenged if that's what's called for. And in Job's case, and hopefully in our cases, it is an honor and a privilege for our lives to be a testimony for God. Glory to God. Praise God. We love him. We trust him. And he is ever present. Mama Pat's on the phone. G's line's open. Let me open Pat here and say hi.
Yeah, hi, guys. Love you all. Yeah, just hanging in here. Yeah, that was a beautiful song and a beautiful message from Raina. I'm glad we finally heard from her. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we know why now. She hasn't been as much in the mix.
But I had an experience this afternoon. I was just sitting on the bed, and all of a sudden I just felt like his presence so strong, like he was holding me. And there's like four very powerful prayers that I say. Well, I said them crying in his arms, okay? Crying in his arms. I could feel he was holding me. My tears covered his face because I was pleading for souls, pleading for souls. And his presence was so strong. So I just want to share that with you guys. Yeah, it was very powerful.
Yeah.
Like I was right with him in his arms, face to face, cheek to cheek, and my tears were covering his cheeks, pleading for souls, for conversions, for salvation. I mean, from my heart's depth. Yeah.
Well,
his presence is very strong all the time, even despite the ups and downs.
I think we're seeing a real increase in intensity in our experiences right now. I think a lot of people are. Even if we are minting a few new jackasses along the way, God's really moving. The intensity is really coming up. Jason and I have been going back and forth. He had a dream this morning that was very odd. I'm not going to go into all the details, but part of it was that he was at basically a party like what we've been hoping for, and what I got out of it was as if it was a pre-production party. You know, if you have a play or you're doing a movie, one of the first things they do is they take the cast and dress them up in character and take a bunch of publicity photos.
Oh, right.
And that's what they use to promote the thing. And those are usually taken in the very beginning. And then when they get into production, sometimes the makeup or the costumes can change a little bit. And so the publicity photos a lot of times don't exactly match the way the final product is. However, in this case, Jason was in basically a cast party, and it was it seemed to be something like a pre-production party, maybe a family party. You know, somehow or other, the theme of family has worked its way into the things I've discussed here tonight. And but anyway, so Jason got the sense that it was imminent, about to happen. He certainly feels that way in general. Honestly, there's a part of me, I don't know what to think about anything right now. Because of the experiences that I've had, and I have to, you know, I have to sort of honestly evaluate them. But at the same time, it really doesn't change what I believe at all. And, it's just, you know, if whatever's happening, there's an increasing intensity, and hopefully it's going very soon towards what we're hoping for. If not, then I'm hoping he finds a way to restore us a little bit if we have to walk this thing out for weeks or months, because it is still possible.
I don't know.
It's, you know, I don't know what the answer is. For a while, I thought we were getting the answer, and it turned out he made it into something else. And so he gave us answers. They just weren't the answers we thought we were getting. And I think, you know, and because of that, you know, to be fair, we have to understand that that could be continuing. But we see the way the world is going around, and we see that there's a lot of things changing. However, we also see that as much groundwork is being laid, as many, there's sort of a cap on stuff, and there's a limit to the intensity, if not the frequency, of some things. And but remember, God's plan, his end time plan is to let things literally go to hell. That is his end time plan. Okay? Because everybody who wouldn't come to him when things were better, you know, perhaps they'll be persuaded when things get worse.
Yeah.
And that, if you want to put his entire plan, all end time prophecy, in a nutshell, yeah, things are going to get worse and worse. And it's going to be harder and harder, and the price to pay is going to be steeper and steeper to get to him.
Yeah.
But you still can.
Yeah.
Until the end is the end.
Right.
And he is going to squeeze every last possible conversion out of circumstances. However, if you're stubborn or self-assured or whatever it is, whatever your condition is, if you're not interacting with God as a priority in your life, you know what? He's going to send you a wake-up call. And it's not going to be a mocha latte from Starbucks. Okay?
No, it'll be a fireball in your backyard.
It'll be a kick in the backside. It'll be a fireball in your backyard. It's going to be
That'll do it.
You know,
it's
going to be a forest fire in L.A.
That's what he's going to do. He's going to send fireballs.
Who knows what in Rio?
Because they're going to be scared shut.
So you know.
And fear will do it.
Sleep at your own risk, but
fear will do it. It'll wake you up by fear.
This is
nothing
what
else
he's
works.
Doing.
He's going to get you. He will. He'll try.
So. you know,
yeah.
as I anyway,
I believe that.
That's
man,
that's the message for today. Thy will be done, and this is a Jobian experience for some of us. I do not say that lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And because so many anybody who's had a sincere Christian walk could easily apply that to a portion of their lives. And the truth is, I had very sincerely felt like I had and justifiably already applied it to a portion of my life. It was not this portion of my life. And he's brought me back to this. And really honestly, probably the deepest challenge to my faith that I've had, because it has been a very different kind of an experience, and I'm probably still getting my roots dug in from this and this growth experience. But anyway, we're about to lose our live air in chat.
Okay.
So we love you, Carol, and I don't know who else
everybody,
we have in there, but and then we have anyway. So I've got to continue on, and I believe are all experiencing this, but just saying to everybody out there, whoever wants to tune into this and listen, you know, watch out, because this is coming your way. This kind of crisis of faith is coming your way, because I'm not having this only as a personal walk. I'm having this to share it. And I already know there's others who have had in their own circumstances similar crises. And these are not things we're meant to understand. They're just, but
guess not.
They're opportunities for us to display our faith, our trust in the character of God, display our hearts for Him and trust His heart for us, and frankly, get through, hopefully, with Him. And so Raina has was told she's going to see him tonight, and
super.
Praise God. And
drag us up, honey. Drag us up. Come grab us by the hand.
That's right.
By the ankle, by the wrist, by the hair, honey. You just grab us and bring us on up, baby.
She better make sure.
She better make sure, Raina. Don't you dare go by yourself.
She gets the rest of us on the way up.
You might have to have a few angels get me off the ground, but just keep, give it a try, honey.
Well, the great thing about God is He has anti-gravity devices. So
that's wonderful. That'll work. That'll work for me.
Yeah,
my grandmother's time here. Yeah, that'll work for me real good, Lord. Anti-gravity,
you
just go right ahead.
You know, if the aliens have it, you know God's got it, right? I mean, it's plain
hey,
enough.
Yeah, right. They got it
so
from
we're
him.
Good to, we're good to go on that, right?
Yep.
Okay,
right
well,
up.
I'm going to send us out here.
Okay, go ahead.
And it probably would be poignant to play Thy Will Be Done, but I just encourage everybody, really soak that
That's
song
a great
in.
Song.
The fact that that song exists and is popular in contemporary Christian music, and I'm not downing Christian music.
No,
I'm just saying
it's showing the heart
I'm just
of people.
Saying
they're confused.
This, the nature
they're
of
hurt.
This song for it to be so embraced. Is prophetic and it's a sign of the times, and
it's
such
a cry to
a
God,
message.
like what's happening?
Yeah.
What's happening,
it's,
Daddy?
Not
what's
only
happening?
That, but it's like, look, you know,
saying,
I know you're there,
what's
I know you're in
Daddy?
This,
I know
and I'm not
there,
having a good time.
Done, but man, I'm going through hell.
That's right, and that's a real faith walk sometimes. So
it is a faith walk.
God bless everybody.
You better believe it's a faith walk.
We thank God. We praise Him. We trust Him for everything.
The hell is burning.
And in this case. In this case, I'm going to play a song that's going to inspire me.
What's burning?
I've got to learn a few dance moves. So,
gosh, dear.
Here we go.
It stinks. Oh, you don't want to know.
No, yeah, okay.
You don't, no, you
anyway,
don't want,
love
no,
you all.
No, but they're cooking. All right, love you too.
And,
oh,
yeah,
my
that's
Lord.
Probably the Oval Office. I think you're just smelling the Oval Office, Pat.
No. The dog caught a squirrel, and my grandson is cooking it for the dogs. So I just don't even go there. It's smelling the house. Smelling the house.
Okay. I think we need to.
Whatever. Good night, guys.
See you later.
life had begun from this moment. You are the one right beside you is where I belong from this moment on. From this moment
yeah.